Live. Transform. This is 702 for the curious.
All right, let's speak about that statement by the Independent Electoral Commission. They released it this evening, and it's on the audit that it commissioned last week to check the extent of voter fraud. And in that statement, they say that the Statistician General's final report shows that there was negligible risk of double voting on election day. And remember last week, the elections were rocked with allegations of electoral fraud, and even 20 people were arrested for double voting. And most of them were able to do so because the supposedly indelible ink used on voter's thumb was removable. At least that's what they claimed. And now the IEC says it's not doing interviews on this matter because it's a sensitive one, but they've referred us to the Statistician General. And let's speak to him now, Mr. Risenga Maluleke. Mr. Maluleke, good evening. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show.
Well, greetings, Clement, and again, greetings to the listeners.
Let's speak about this audit then, about how it was conducted. How many voting stations did you look at? Speak to us about the methodology.
Firstly, StatsSA didn't conduct an audit. StatsSA conducted a quality assurance on the elections, which then was trying to establish any potential irregularities that would have occurred on the basis of one direction that was being raised of a potential of double voting. But StatsSA would not be in a position to pronounce as to whether there was double voting or not, because once the ballot forms have been dropped in the boxes, you can no longer link them to a voter by way of identification because they don't have identifiers. So that's the first thing. The second issue is what we are about to discuss now on media. We have discussed with the political parties on Saturday the 11th, and briefed them of what we have done. Now, let us get straight to the methodology. What we did is we sampled the 1,020 voting districts which were stratified or which had to make sure that they properly represent the province, the local municipality, and the ward. Once we had sampled those, we came up with the 1,020. And out of the 1,020, we can actually explain in each province how many voting districts we were able to take. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, in the Eastern Cape, we had 213 voting districts, which represented 20% of the sampled voting districts that we had taken. And in the Northern Cape, for example, we had 31 voting districts, which accounted for 3.04% of the total number of voting districts that we had sampled. Now, having done so, we wanted to understand the extent to which and how furthest the number of Section 24A forms that were completed in each of the sampled voting districts would have been as a proportion of the number of votes that were cast in that particular sampled voting district. And once we got such proportions, a voting district alone doesn't talk. We wanted to check the behavior of that voting district within its own ward so that we can see how far it is in relation to the ward. So we wanted to take the midpoint of that proportion of the Section 24 forms, 24A forms, going forward.
Yeah.
Now, let us look at it. We looked at the most extreme, and the sample that we took was so representative that it was going to give us 97% confidence that our findings would be guaranteed to that level. We were giving ourselves a 3% margin of error. And once you give yourself that, it's a very high level of confidence on which you are holding yourself. And we were doing this independently. There were two voting districts that the political parties had presented to the IEC, where they had alleged double voting, and they were saying that they are aware that there might have been a double voting. Both the IEC and the political parties wanted us to include those two voting districts, but we refused on the basis that once we included them, our sample, as status say, would no longer be independent. And once it was no longer independent, if we could include any, no matter how emotive or sensitive the matter that they were raising was, if we included those two voting districts, it would have meant that we could have been influenced to remove some of the voting districts.
So, Mr. Muleleka, I just want us to also clarify it so that it's much more simpler for us to understand. So, based on the sample that you used, what did you find?
Firstly, is when we looked at the most extreme, then the extreme case is the furthest you could have had of a potential irregularity. And we are using the word potential because voting by Section 24A is allowed in law. So if you vote outside the voting district, you can fill that form. When we went to the extreme, we looked at the 99th percentile, that is by bits of 1, 2, up to 100. When we looked at the most extreme, we found no voting district that had a potential irregularity. When we went to 95%, which is still very high, we found no potential, no voting district. And when we went to the 90th point, we found 13 voting districts that would have a potential of irregularity. It doesn't necessarily mean that there would have been irregularities. Now, out of those voting districts, out of 1,020, those 13 only represented 1.23, that is 1.3%, which is actually relatively very low. And having found those which were in the extremes, we informed the political parties and did inform the IEC accordingly.
Okay. I just want you to help us understand here then. When the IEC then says that the final report that was compiled by you has revealed negligible risks of double voting, are they now referring to the 13 voting districts that you speak of?
Certainly. And if you look at their statement, they are also referring, they have even included it. If you look at the first page of their statement, right at the bottom, they are talking of the 13 out of 1,020, which is 1.23. So they are referring to that.
Okay. Thank you so much for helping us understand it, Statistician General Risenga Maluleka. I mean, it's an issue of numbers. It gets complicated, so sometimes you miss what is exactly happening, and that's why we've decided to invite commentator Kaya Sutelo to also help us how we should be reading this. Kaya, good evening. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show. I mean, how are we supposed to understand what the IEC is saying here when they say the final report is revealing this negligible risks of double voting?
Yeah, I think there is a problem with the way the IEC has crafted the statement, because here there are two things that you'd have to consider, Clement. One is the question of the risk of double voting, and the second one is the question of the incidence of double voting. So the first one is a risk that somebody might have picked up that I can vote twice and I can do it. And of course, that is a risk that always exists, especially given the nature of the systems that the IEC has. So that's not the type of thing that the Stats SA or anyone else can actually do anything about. It's a risk that exists. So my expectation was that what Stats SA was going to look for is, were there any incidences based on the sample that they have, were there any incidences of people working twice? And of course, what they have now said is that even if that was a possibility, the impact was so remote and the possibility was so low, it wouldn't make a material difference. So I think we have to be able to distinguish between the two. The risk of people double voting will always exist. The incidence of people double voting is what the Stats SA was supposed to look into.
Let me look at that statement now, because it speaks about how this validation exercise was conducted based on the voting station result data from the over 1,000 voting stations. And the commission says it's satisfied that this use of Section 24A voting was consistent with previous elections and showed a significant deviation from the pattern in only a tiny number of voting stations in the sample. And the statistician general was telling us that it's 13 out of the 1,020. So that represents about 1.27%. But they're saying that even in these isolated instances, they're satisfied that the trend compares favorably with the previous voting patterns in voting stations with low registration level. Is this convincing enough, especially for the small parties that took issue with this this matter of the double voting trend? And do you think people can start having this conversation around whether or not they can start questioning their credibility? Or is the incident so tiny that it doesn't really affect, as the IEC says, the overall outcome?
The first problem, of course, is that the IEC is now saying that this is in line with the established trend. But remember, up until last week, they'd never actually ever spoken about them doing a statistical analysis of saying that, look, in voting district A, these are the number of people they've registered. This is what we expected to happen on the day. But the actual outcomes were so far different from those two. Then we've got an issue. So now it looks like it's an imposed statistical analysis that says in the past this has happened. We're obviously not in a position to test that or dispute that, but it is a bit surprising that they can now simply say that this is in line with trends when they've never mentioned this issue before. So that is the first issue. The secondary problem, of course, is that when we do talk about this question and the impact of Section 24A, what has happened here is that in previous elections, while this risk has always existed, it probably wasn't as well understood by the public as what we saw now. And the reason it wasn't such a big risk is that what the IEC does is that it has a multiple validation mechanism. So, of course, the ink that you put on your thumb is one way that they can say, no, you already have some ink, it means you voted somewhere else. And if that isn't the case, if you decide to go to your voting station, they strike your name off the ballot paper. So there's always sort of all these checks and balances that individually and collectively should be ensuring that people cannot vote twice. Now, of course, when one of them fails, which is the most visible one, being this ink that is supposed to be put on your thumb, it escalated the risk for this particular electoral cycle. And I think for me, the key issue here is that the IEC needs to actually acknowledge that not only has the risk always existed, but now people have become aware of the possibility, and they should then be saying that the only way to ensure that it never happens, that the risk is absolutely killed off, is to do particular things. And I'm not hearing from the statement them saying that, look, actually, now that we know that the public has become aware of this possibility, this is how we're dealing with it going forward.
That's exactly.
They're simply saying that whatever happened doesn't make a difference. But of course, people aren't worried about last week's election.
No.
Everyone is saying that if the IEC retains the same systems for 2021, we'll vote as many times as we want.
Exactly. And that's what I was about to say, Kaya, that do you get an indication from the IEC? Because I don't get it from this statement. And having attended most of their briefings at the IEC Results Center last week, they always spoke about how they've got sufficient validation mechanisms, as you say, to try and, you know, deal with that issue of a possible voter fraud. But what this means now with this audit or this quality survey that has been conducted by the Statistician General, what it means is that the system of voter verification can be abused. So do you get a sense that the IEC is determined to make sure that its internal capacity is developed to prevent people voting twice in the next elections?
No, unfortunately not. And the reality here is that the IEC unfortunately also answered to the whims of the politicians. In fact, even the very reason we ended up here is because the politicians way back in 2003, ahead of the 2004 election, decided to actually go and change the IEC's act and then force the IEC to accept any person voting from wherever they were. Mm. Now, of course, even way back then, the IEC was of the opinion that that model was undesirable, if not for fraud reasons, but simply just for the logistical reasons, that the IEC now really doesn't know how many people are going to show up at any particular station. Yeah. So given the way that this works, it means that the IEC is going to hesitate to come out and say, look, actually, the politicians created this problem, and we've said to them that the only way to eliminate this problem altogether is to do the following things. So I do think that they've been a bit circumspect in how they communicate this, and they're simply saying that, look, based on what we've sampled, we know what the issue is, but I think perhaps in their own internal deliberations as the IEC and also in their interactions with Parliament, they will have to say that, unfortunately, by the time we get to 2021, unless we get given additional resources, and keep in mind, Clement, that it was this government that decided that ahead of the general election, they decided to cut the IEC funding budget in the first place.
Yeah.
So, of course, the IEC has to then say, look, you know what the risk is, and unless you give us the money, we do not vouch for the credibility of the upcoming election. So I do think that this will help the IEC bargaining power when it comes to their deliberations in Parliament, because we saw over the past couple of years where they were simply just regarded as a nuisance. When you cut a budget of the Electoral Commission ahead of a general election, you don't give the impression that you're a government that actually understands what the IEC is all about.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much for your time. Kaya Sithole, a commentator, speaking to us about how we should be reading this statement from the IEC, which seems to be making this admission that, in fact, yeah, there must possibly have been this possibility of double voting. Their wording is that the final report of the Statistician General reveals negligible risks of double voting. But as Kaya says, in this statement, you don't get a sense that they are now going to review their mechanisms.